From the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Jesus departed to the mountain to pray. He spent the night in prayer to God. When day came, he called his disciples to himself. And from them he chose 12 whom he also named apostles. Simon, whom he named Peter, and his brother Andrew. James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon was called the Zealot, Judas, the son of James, Judas Iscariot, became a traitor. He came down with them, stood on a stretch of level ground. A great crowd of his disciples and a large number of the people from all Judea and Jerusalem, the coastal region of Tyre and Sidon, came to hear him. And to be healed of their diseases. Even those who were tormented by unclean spirits were cured. Everyone in the crowd sought to touch him because power came forth from him and healed them all. The Gospel of the Lord. Today we see the calling of the 12, how it happened, and what Jesus did in the first steps of their formation. Spend all night in prayer to God. Prayer discernment over which of his disciples to call. Prayer of intercession for them so that they might be faithful to the call. And at daybreak, from all his disciples, he called 12. And there were two essential verbs associated with that summons. The first, he called his disciples to himself. And then he named them apostles. St. Mark basically says the same thing in his version from the lips of Peter. He called them to be with him so that he might send them out. Called them to himself to be with him, named them apostles, which literally means those who are sent. To discipleship and apostolate. First is discipleship, to be with Jesus. Called them to himself. He wanted them to be with him always. He would come into the world to be with them. It's the first aspect of their call. It's not so much work, it's prayer, it's friendship, it's intimacy with the Lord. But then as a result of that consecration, they begin to love what Jesus loves. They begin to share his mission. So he sends them out together with him in order to carry out that mission. Sends the Holy Spirit precisely to keep them in that presence of the Lord when that mission would reach its fulfillment. Call them by name. You know, the mystery of divine election is something that should never cease to fill us with wonder. But of all the peoples on earth, he called the Jews to have a special relationship with him. But of all the Jews, he called the disciples when at last he came. But of all the disciples, he chose these 12. We can go on. Out of the 12, he chose 3, Peter, James, and John, to be with him at the most important aspects of his ministry when he raised Jairus' daughter from the dead, when he was transfigured, when he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. And out of those 3, he chose 1. Doesn't matter. Doesn't mean that one was better than anybody else. His mom was the morally best of all. But there is this great mystery of divine election. Likewise, when we see their names, we hear our own. That of all 7.6 billion people in the world, he has chosen 2.2 to be Christian. Out of those 2.2, he has chosen 1.2 to be Catholic. Out of those 1.2, he has chosen about 1% to be priests and religious. And out of those, he has chosen you and he's chosen me, not because we're better than anybody else, but just as he prayed for the apostles all night and then summoned them to be with him and so that he could send them out. So Jesus ascended to the right hand of the Father, where he continuously prays for us and intercedes that we might be faithful. Remember in John 17 that Jesus explicitated this prayer, that he was praying not only for the first apostles, but also for all those who would hear through them. He insistently prays, calling us more deeply to himself and sending us out, protected and assisted by that prayer. As they were with Jesus in going out with him, we see precisely what he was doing and what he wants us doing. First, Jesus was teaching. They had come to hear him. We likewise need to continue that teaching. He was healing, and the church continues that healing through charity, through prayer, through the sacraments. And then he was exorcising. Church likewise shares in that mission to cast out from the power of the evil one and help people to really come under the subjection of the Lord. Everybody was just trying to touch the Lord Jesus. And it's through us, the mystical body, through the sacraments we bring to the world, through our hands, through our eyes, through our ears, people are able to come into contact with the Lord. Or at least they're supposed to. St. Paul picks up on these themes in his letter to the Colossians. As I get older and reread consistently the letter to the Colossians, I just continue to grow to love it. It is chock full of some of the greatest sound bites in sacred scripture on which we could base our entire Christian life. St. Paul tells the Christians in Colossae and us, as you received Christ the Lord, walk in him. Walk is a biblical verb to behave. Faith isn't static. We don't stay where we are. It's a journey. Christianity is not a classroom, it's a way. But we just don't walk following the Lord. We walk in the Lord. Everything we do, we're supposed to do in the Lord, together in this intimate relationship with him who calls us to be himself. And then he gives us four verbs. The first three were the theme of World Youth Day in Madrid, as Sister Maria Cristina well remembers. Rooted in him. Recalls the biblical image of Psalm 1 and Jeremiah, for example, that we root ourselves firmly in the Lord so that we'll bear fruit in due season, so that our leaves will never fade. We root ourselves deeply in the living water that flows. You know, when we see these hurricanes like Dorian last week, most trees are wiped out. But some trees, even after a Cat 5 hurricane, stand. What's the difference? The latter are firmly rooted. They have deep, deep roots. Jesus wants us to have those deep roots. He wants us to walk in this path, built upon him. He calls to mind his image of building our house on the rock. That we try to erect our entire existence on Jesus. That's what the word amen means. It's a verb that means to uphold. And every time we say amen, we're saying, I'm going to erect my entire existence on what I'm saying amen to. And ultimately we say amen to the great amen, built upon him, the cornerstone. firm in the faith as you were taught. St. Paul was writing this letter, as we see, to the Christians in Colossae who were being precisely captivated with an empty, seductive philosophy according to the tradition of men. It's a constant temptation for us to be seduced by the fads of the age. For us today, it's materialism, it's hedonism, it's individualism. To be firmly rooted, to be established in the faith that we were taught, to come to get to know it so much better, so that it deeply impacts the whole way we look at ourselves, look at God, look at the world. And fourth, abounding in thanksgiving, overflowing with gratitude. A lot of the times we nurse our wounds, we murmur, we groan, just like the Israelites in the desert. Most important characteristic for us to truly grow in faith is for us to recognize everything's a gift. The word of the gift is 99.99999% gift. And just a tiny little part, demand. And the Lord makes the demands precisely so that we can develop the gift. For that reason, we should be abounding in thanksgiving. What a wonderful thing it would be if somebody were to characterize us at some point as saying, yes, they have all of these qualities from A to triple Z, but above all, he was overflowing in thanksgiving. This is the way that we're called to walk in Christ. To be rooted in Him, built upon Him, firm in the faith He taught us, and abounding in thanksgiving, rendering constant thanks, for this is God's will for us in Christ Jesus. Today, as we celebrate this Mass, we call to mind that the Lord Jesus has summoned us here. He has prayed for us. He wants to feed us with Himself, both His Word as well as the Word made flesh. This is the means that we will be in Him, so that we will be sent out on mission in tandem with Him. This is how He seeks to root and build us on Him, making us strong in faith and helping us together with Him in this Eucharistane to give eternal thanksgiving to the Father. Today Jesus comes to dwell within us, precisely so that we can walk in Him.